God's house this morning. You hear the word, you woke up, you got dressed, you came to church. The next thing to do is open your heart and receive, and open up your thoughts to let God fill you. Because when God moves you, it's so beautiful. When God moves you, you have this faith that the world just doesn't understand. So this morning we're going to pray for more faith. We're going to pray that you receive the word. We're going to pray that you're stronger when you leave than when you walked in. And we're going to pray that you're hungrier to know more because of what God is doing in your life. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Number 12 in your book.
You can't make me down in my heart.
See, I'm looking and my eyes are closed and I'm singing. I look up and I see another prayer answered. Another prayer answered. Sister Margie, God bless you. Margie. That's a young lady right there we need in our church. And I'm not trying to lift her up. I'm trying to lift you up with her. That woman is a prayer warrior right with Elder Nancy, but she knows the word. She's been through the mire. Amen. She's been through the mud. She's been through the valley over and over again. And there she stands. Take a look at that young lady and say, I want her to pray for me. That's what the church is missing. We need people. We need prayer warriors. You need to be here because we need your prayers and we need to lift you up, but we need you praying for others because you believe. You simply believe. Everything you've been through, you believe. You go to see pastor because you want to believe. You want somebody to pray for you because you believe. This is what the church needs. People who truly want to pray for others because they believe. Amen. And there's another prayer answered. Amen. Another prayer right there. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. I get all excited. I have a vision. God gave me a vision. And I'm going to close with this, but I want to say, never mind that. Wise guy. Join the Polish club, I said. I'm Italian. God gave me. And people say, how many of you have ever heard say, God will never give you too much more than you can handle? Anybody ever hear that? Oh, he'll never. Well, let me tell you, if you believe that, then you have to believe he will never give you a dream too big that you can't reach it. Amen? And that's what I'm believing for. People are going to say, you can't. I say, God says I can. People say, not possible. I say, but with God, all things are possible. So if he's not going to give you more than you can ever handle, then he's not going to give you a vision or a dream that's too big that you can't reach it. Amen? It's up to you and God. Give him praise. Yeah. Bible tells us.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. You're welcome. The Bible tells us that we can be in such deep praise, we can be in such worship, that the glory of God will fall on the church. And let me tell you, don't be afraid. Listen, if we can be in one accord and really love Him with all our heart, and the glory fell on His church, you would be moved to your knees in a way that's so beautiful, and the peace would fall over this church, and the power of God. We can do that. We can put the Spirit of God in here so strong that we can't even stand the beauty of it. We can't stand the love of it, because we're praising our King, praising our Father in heaven. If we did that together, if we were really loving Him together, that glory would fall on this church and all our lives would be changed. Amen. Not just me, not everybody. You would be touched in a way that you would have to tell people for the rest of your life. And we can do that in this church, I believe. Give a praise, church. Please rise this morning. We talk to our Father in heaven, where He looks down upon us. All things are possible. All things. Have that vision. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. That's our promise for tomorrow in Jesus' name. But we have a promise for today. God said He is with us today. That's why we should rejoice. Church, are you ready to receive something that will change your life today? Hallelujah. Let's read together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence.
You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. God is so good. God is doing many things. But we need to understand that how serious I was when I was talking about Margie. We need prayer warriors, people who really believe, who've been through it. Amen? Who've been through it and back and through it and back. Because people don't come to church on a Sunday because I think sometimes the devil, bless you. God bless you, Flo. One more time. Bless you. We got one more blessing, then we're I think sometimes the attack comes from Satan, that we don't get up and go. You know, we have reasons for it. We don't feel good. That's when you need to go. You're feeling depressed. That's when you need to go. Your back hurts. That's when you need to go. Amen. But sometimes you physically can't go. Amen. Like Sister Gladys. She's been going through a lot, and she physically sometimes just can't go. So we all need to pray for her. We need to call her. We need to say we miss you. Encourage her. We've been, you know, that's our job. Amen. We need to inspire others. Isn't that the word? Isn't that a great word? Inspire others to want to know this God. Inspire others to way be closer to God. We need to be the inspiration that leads them to salvation. Amen? And not just we're all talking about eternity, but I'm talking about today. I want your day to be better this afternoon than it was this morning. Amen? But that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm praying for, and that's my vision. And last week we talked about the word content. I know you wrote it down and put it on your refrigerator. To be content. Paul says to be content in all things, whether you're rich, poor, whether you're sick or healthy, whether you have food or you don't. He said to learn how to be content. And when you're content, all the things from Satan cannot touch you because you're content. You're standing on that rock, and sure, the wind blows to the left and right, but you know that God is your salvation. Are you with me? So I had those five things I told you to write down last week, and they're so powerful. The first thing being, give thanks to God for all you have today. Give thanks to him today for all that you... And people say, I don't have much. You have quite a bit. Amen? I could take you places where you could see people who don't have anything. You have so much to be thankful for. So when you wake up, no matter what you're feeling, no matter how bad you're feeling, how depressed you feel, whatever you're going through, you wake up and say, Lord, thank you for all I have today. You see everything that you have that is a gift from God. And then you find your dream. Amen? Find your vision. Find your desire. He's put it in there. We all have desires. And don't tell me you're too old, because that's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen? You're not too old. You're not too old. That's another trick that he likes to pull on us. And then the third thing was talk to God. And this is very important. Show him your determination. Brother Fred, if you want to be first selectman, you got to show him you're dedicated. You got to show God, I'm going to work towards it. Whatever job I have, I'm working towards it because I want to be first selectman. I want to be the mayor of Derby. Then you got to show him you're worthy, because if he's going to put you in that place, he's going to bear the responsibility if you fail. That's why God says, talk to me. Talk to me. And you show him how determined you are. And the fourth thing, and this is big, you should have wrote it down. Rise up above all distractions and doubters. You got to rise up. How many know you're going to meet doubters during your day, amen, and distractions? How many know that? People are going to come against you. You don't even know where it's going to come from. Bam, there it is. So you got to rise up above that, amen, because that's another lie. And the fifth one was find your inner peace. That word peace does not mean that everything is perfect. Right, Margie? It doesn't mean that your life is perfect. You got that peace. Doesn't mean everything is all your bills are paid and everything. It means you have an inner peace where you know things will be taken care of. That you know God is watching. That you know God has been with you. And you know God's not going to leave you. So you have that inner peace. And when you have that inner peace, you have contentment. And when you have contentment, then that the things called life cannot come against you. Amen? That's the difference. And that's what we talked about last week. And I hope you all wrote that down and you got it on your refrigerator, because I have a couple of testimonies to share. We have a brother in our church. Well, he's going to another church now because he's it's right next to his house. He got a tremendous report from the doctors about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, with his liver. I mean, a great report that the hep C is dropped, everything's dropping, things are looking good, they're happy for him. His spirit was up here. He was excited about God. Are you with me? He was excited. And then he went to pay his respects to a friend of his who passed away. And he went as a brother, and he went as somebody who knew the family. He said, I'm going to go. And he went there strong and in faith. And somebody there told him, yeah, this person, he went to the VA, and the VA told him about his liver, and the VA told him what they were going to do. And it sounded just like what they had told him. Understand what just happened. This man went with a spirit up here. He went to show his respect and give his love. And somebody there he didn't even expect to talk to said, oh yeah, well the VA told him this, this, and this, which is exactly what the VA told him. You imagine what he left with that night? Imagine where his faith just fell like a balloon. You know why? That's the trick from the devil. Amen? Because if 10,000 fall to your left and 10,000 fall to your right, it doesn't mean it's going to touch you. You have to stand on that rock. What happened to one doesn't mean it happens. And we have to pray, and we prayed, and we lifted him up again. And we said, that's just, you know, that's, you can't, and see, but that's where the devil gets to you. That's the testimony I told last week. I tell you, don't wait for other people's approval. I told you that last week. Somebody else doing something that they love to do, Sergio, that they love doing, and they're excited, and they're doing it. Somebody else came and criticized every single thing they did. And you know what that did to that spirit? Right, sister? You know what that... Somebody had the nerve to go and oh, you did this, that... Don't wait for other people's approval. You're not going to get it. I told you last week about my dad, what my dad told me in the music business. He said, son, you got people, you got musicians in that room. Don't wait for them to tell you how good you sounded. You got another guitar player in that room. Don't wait for him to tell you how good a guitar player... It ain't going to happen. Because attacks are going to come when you least expect it, from the people you least expect it from sometimes. Amen? And that's what happened. You're doing something the way, and this is beautiful, I know, you're doing something the way God has given you to do it, the way God has given you to do it, and you're doing it that way because you're an individual, and God created you to be that person. And you're doing it your way, and you're having fun doing it your way, and somebody else comes, that's the wrong way. And the first thing you do is take a step back. And your spirit drops. And your joy drops. That's why you have to be content. And you have to know that God is with you. And you follow your dream. Remember one more thing. These people don't share your dream. They don't care about your dream. They don't even know that you have a dream. And they are not inspiring you. They're tearing you down. Amen. And this person that talked to my friend... It's her brother Ray. That's who I'm talking about with the kidney, with the liver. He didn't mean any harm. He didn't mean any harm. He didn't even know. But see, the devil knows, amen, because we express all these thoughts all day. My back hurts, my leg hurts, my knee hurts, I'm depressed, and the devil's writing it down. You might not write down, the devil's writing, I'm depressed. Larry's depressed, Larry's worried about people. Larry, okay, good, I got him now. Oh, Larry's saying how good the sermons are. Well, I'm going to attack him. I'm going to say, people, for that sermon, they're not going to be here, and then see what he thinks. See, because God is creating me to be me also. God is lifting me up for my vision, amen, my vision for here, and God is showing me, and I believe, and I got to stand on that rock. See, he's seeing, what kind of man are you going to be? What kind of a pastor are you going to be? What kind of an inspirer are you going to be? And I'm going to be what God wants me to be. God's putting me inside me, and I can't let doubters say that it's not going to work, because I'm talking to God. People might say, well, you don't have 200 people here yet. I said, yeah. But we're working towards it. We're building a church where somebody comes in, they're going to feel the presence of God. They're going to see a family together in love with each other. In love with each other. Miss Judy, so good to see you. And I heard Dave say, you know, you guys are going to later, right? That made my heart smile. You made my heart smile. And what is better than that? So the testimony is just like last week. Just like we were preaching last week. It all came this week. That's why you should never miss a Sunday. And I'm sorry, I'm being blunt with you. You should never miss a Sunday because you don't know what's going to be said. It's going to be that one thing that changes your life forever. How many people come against your faith? You understand, Sergio? That they don't believe like you. They don't have your vision. They want to go to the bar and have a couple of drinks. You say, no, that's not who I am. And they look at you. But they want to inspire you to do other things where God is inspiring you to to do great things. And as long as you follow God, those inspirations are going to lift you higher and higher and higher. And it'll, listen to this, it'll lift you above the distractions and the distractors. Give them praise. Hallelujah. So let's pray together this morning. Lord, help us to see each and every day. I know it takes each and every day, but help us to see that you've given each of us a dream, and our dreams are different. Even our husbands and wives' dreams, not what you want, but your dreams, the little things and the things that in you, who made you the way you are, to be who you are, if people to make people laugh, to make people smile, to make people love, to make people feel compassion. He's put those dreams inside of you, to lift people up, to do great things for your family. Those are your dreams. And he's given them to you in your way, to do them the way God has led you to do them. We need to allow God to feed that and to make that nourish, to make that grow inside of all of us. Each and every one of us need to see that. Other people are going to come against us because they don't share our dream. They don't share our vision. People are going to come against this church because they don't share our vision. They're going to come against our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because they don't believe his message. They're going to come, but we need to rise above. We need to be strong. We need to stand on that rock. We need to be content. We need to be just knowing that God has always been there and he will always be there for us. And we need to inspire others to do great things. We need to lift each other up. We need to pray for each other. Today alone, great prayers answered. Great prayers answered with people in this church today. Great. Those are great prayers. We prayed and God answered. We should be rejoicing till the walls be shaken, believing for the next prayer to be answered. And the next one after that. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. That's why Sundays are the most important day. If this is the only day you're going to hear the word and read the word with me, then this is the most important day in your life, because this will help you on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Because let me tell you, things are going to come against you. And the more you profess different things, different people, the thing you don't even expect are going to come against you. People with a vision are going to say, no, you're wrong. Say, God put this in my heart. He put it in my heart to be a pastor. I can't be wrong. I need to pray. I need to lead. I need to lift. Because this vision I have is something that God gave me. And if God never gives us more than we can handle, then he never gives us a dream too big to reach. Hallelujah. So I'm believing for that. And I ask you to pray for yourself. Pray for your neighbors to see that vision. Get excited about life. This life that God has blessed you with, to be here today. Thank him for all you have today, and it will change how you look at the next hour. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen? Amen. Psalm 37:23 says this. Listen to it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What do they are? And he delights in his way. And Psalm 41 and 2, I wrote it down. Because you do one thing and you get five blessings. What a gift, right? You do one thing with God and you receive five blessings. And it didn't cost you $29.95. It didn't cost you a penny. You had to do one thing. It said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me. In other words, he listened to me. He drew closer to me. And he heard my cry. That's the second thing. He heard you. He heard your prayer. The third thing is, he also brought me up out of the horrible pit. That's three things, out of the miry clay. And the fourth thing, he set my feet upon a rock. And the fifth thing he did, because you waited patiently, he established your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. So I will tell you simply three words. Enjoy the journey beyond your comfort zone. Isn't it? That's the hard part. God, inspired by people. Get inspired by people who help you. Understand what I mean? When I was a young man, I might find a book, Pat, that makes me so excited. I read it and I can't read it fast enough. And I say, oh, Pat, you need to read this. And you look at it and say, this means nothing to me. And it's not that the book isn't powerful. It's just that God gave me something and I got excited about it and I wanted to share it. So all your visions aren't like you can share them with other people and for whatever you're reading. So that's why I say, you read the Bible. Who reads the Bible? You read the Bible and let God talk to you. And you come to me and say, look what God said to me this week. Amen? Not just me telling you. But see, people, see, I get excited about something. I found a book last week. I've had it for 2 weeks. I'm on page 47. And I'm a good reader because I've gone over. Dave, you should see, I got yellow marked everywhere, words already circled. Because now I go back, I read one page, two pages, three pages, Jim. I go back and read them again. I want to read it. I want to get fed again. And I cross this line in yellow. And now when I go to the book and I open up the first page of 23, 24, guess what I see, Sergio? Yellow markers. I say, oh, let me read that. Oh, I want to be in peace. Oh, I want to inspire people. I want to do the things of God. See, that book is inspiring me. It might not mean anything to y'all, but see, that's what's inspiring me. When I was a young man, anybody ever hear of Roy Clark? He's a guitar player. He made faces when he played, and he played really fast, and he did crazy things. And I said, I like that. I want to be like Roy Clark. I want to play like that with my behind my head and do all them crazy little things like Roy and have them faces where, so he inspired me. And then I saw this group on Ed Sullivan one night, John, Paul, Luke, and Mark. They call themselves the Beatles. And I saw them and I said, I want to do that. I want to play my guitar on stage and have people screaming and have people watching me. I want to do that. What? Oh, Ringo and George, eh? You'd be surprised if I do that in some of the dinner clubs we're playing. It goes, people don't even hear that. But you see, they inspired me to play music. The Beatles. And now my wife's going to cringe. Not really. There, my daddy had this album, and I don't know how many. Anybody ever hear Homer and Jethro? Hit it. This mandolin player might be one of the greatest mandolin. He's just and the guitar player, rhythm guitar player, playing chords for every word. But they were comedians, and they did corny stuff. They changed the words of songs, and I had these albums of Homer and Jethro doing live, and these songs were so funny. They were a little risque. They weren't at all. They were a little, but I was listening. You know what I was listening to? People were so excited. They couldn't wait to see him. They couldn't wait to hear him. They were happy. They were excited. And I'm saying, I want to do that. I want to be able to sing those songs. I don't want to just sing all serious songs. He stopped loving her today. Everybody say, I want to sing something that makes people smile. And so, see, they inspired me. You understand what I'm getting to? And then I read a book by a man named Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody ever hear that name? Judy, ever hear that name? Smith, he's a reverend from Europe. He's from England. And he's a man who loved God. A man who simply followed God, Flo. He followed God in the simplest of ways. He said that there's many books to be read. He said, I only want to read one book. He said, I just want to read Father's book, the Bible. He said that his son-in-law was brilliant, was a teacher, gone to college. He said, anytime I need to know something, I ask him because he's brilliant. But when it comes to me, the only thing he wanted was the Bible. And that touched me. That touched me so deep. That's why I'm standing here today, because Smith Wigglesworth said, there's only one thing that I really want to know, what Father wants in my life, how Father wants to help me, how God can keep me strong. See, it wasn't a church, it wasn't a denomination, it was one man talking about one God that touched me so much that I said, that's who I want to be. That's what I, he said one day, you could take it for what it's worth, but he said one day that he was on a train with two people, and people were sitting across from him on the train. And the man looked at him and looked at him. The man finally had to get up and walk away. He looked at him and said, you convict me of sin. Your spirit convicts me. So I got to go sit somewhere else. Because he said the presence of God was on him. He was a gentle man, but a powerful man. He wasn't weak. He was powerful in that gentleness. He's a man that said one time, he said he woke up, and this is, again, the little things that you think about. He said he woke up in the middle of the night once, and Satan was standing at the foot of his bed. At the foot of his bed. You know what he did? He looked at him and said, it's only you. Rolled over and went back to sleep. You see, he's standing on a rock. He's standing on God. And those are inspirations. Those are people that changed my life. And you need to know that you can do the same for other people. But you need to be around people who inspire you, who lift you up, who make you want to do greater things. And you don't have to give them all the praise and the glory. You don't have to thank them a million times. But it's in here. You know that you know when you meet somebody that's going to lift you up. You know that somebody's going to give you a good word. And you know after that good word, Lisa, you're going to smile. And your heart's going to be happy. And your body's going to be healthy. That's what you look for. And those are people that inspire inspire you, who do good things for you, who want to do good things for you, and not give you thousands of dollars, but give you hope. Amen. What's greater than that? You might say, I have no vision, I'm too old. But I tell you this, I'm sorry, if you love God, and I know you do, then there's always a spark to start a new journey. I'll skip. Well, next week we'll talk about Elijah, because the people in the Bible, they're no different than you. But inspire and inspiration, that's the word for today. Last week was content and contentment. Those who inspire us, how do we inspire others? Pushing us to do better in this life today. It's all with a relationship with God. Can I get an amen? Elijah was a man just like, you know, I read the Bible and I read about people in the Bible. Anybody hear of Moses? You didn't? You ever hear of Elijah? And you remember in the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. Yep, when I read about the Bible and I read about Moses, he argued with God about what? He didn't want to go to the burning. He didn't want to do all that. I don't want to do that. I can't talk good. I'm not strong enough. I stutter. I don't know. Maybe they won't believe me. Maybe he tried to talk his way out of doing what God told him to do. How many? Yet there he was. There he was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples right there. And there's Elijah. And let me tell you about Elijah. I won't read too much, but I want you to understand what he was. And it's in the Bible. It's in 1 Kings 17 if you want to read. Elijah was afraid. Now Elijah, that's no different than you, David. No, Deacon Bill, that's you. No different than us. He was afraid. Here is a prophet of God, and he was afraid. I get afraid. I get worried. Me. I pray about things. Every day I pray about this church. I said, Lord, help me. And God is saying, I'm helping you. I'm helping you. Easy, boy. But he was afraid. Let me tell you something else Elijah was. He was depressed. Anybody ever depressed? Elijah was depressed. He felt abandoned. He felt alone. Anybody ever feel alone? Elijah, he was a prophet of God. He was in the Bible. He was no different than you, Gene Walter. No different. He was afraid. He was abandoned. He thought God had left him. And the worst part is he felt alone. He felt like he was the only one left. And God had to pat him on the top of his head and say, little boy, I have 7,000 just like you praying and fighting for me. He said, little boy, I'm right here. I've never left you. And Elijah and Moses, no different than you, Fred. No different. No different than you. The only thing is they had this relationship with God that was unbreakable. They had this, even though Moses didn't want to do all that, did he leave God? No. Did he follow God? Yes. And on that mountain of transfiguration, the book of Matthew. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. In other words, brothers and sisters, they saw Jesus in his glory. They saw a glow, or they saw him as he was, the Son of God, in that glory. And it says, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. They saw Jesus. Now they've been walking with him. And there he stands, and his face all of a sudden shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. It could be Jim Howe and Sergio met Jesus on the mountain and were talking to him. It could be the same thing. You have no difference than those two. All they did was have faith in God and believed God and followed God. That's it. It could have been George Mako, amen, and Bernie talking to on the mountain, because Elijah and Moses were no different than any, amen. They were there with him because they rose to that level. Amen. Can I get an amen? Understand what I'm saying? And you are no different. You can rise up to that level. You can be Moses and Elijah. You can be everybody in this Bible. He was afraid. He was depressed. He felt abandoned. He felt alone. He wanted to give up, yet he never did. He never gave up. Wherever you are in your life today, whatever your age, I would say this, dare to dream. Dare to say, Lord, Is there more? Show me something, Lord. Reach for something. Look at the people in the Bible. They're great people. They were no different than you. Let me say that again. They were no different than you, Greg. Your name is in this Bible just like they are. Because you're following, you're loving God, you're trying to walk with God, so you're no different because they tried. They all failed, and every time they failed, they stood up and continued. But here's the warning. Please take heed. You might want to write, this is the warning. We must be watchful. We must be careful, always ready for what we allow to come into our lives. That is so important. Of who you allow and what you allow in your life. And let me tell you why I had that serious and is with God, especially with God. So much of your work you've done, you're walking with God, you're praying with God, you're leading others to God, and one person, how many? Can say one thing to you and destroy your faith and say, well, that's not possible. Yes, it's possible because we're human. They could say something to tear you down the way you have to almost feel like you got to start over again. You have to be with one comment. With how many comments? We have a responsibility to watch who we allow in our lives. Watch the people that we allow to filter in and talk to us and share. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. Amen. Because something happened this week in my house. In my house. Somebody I haven't seen in years. Years and years and years and years. Got on that Facebook. And we're going to talk about Facebook soon, everybody. I'm sorry. My wife's going to kill me. But we're going to talk about Facebook and texting. Because that's caused so much dissension with people. But this person posted one little thing, one line, upset me, my wife, and my daughter to the ninth degree. And I'm saying we cannot allow those people to be in your life. You got to watch who you allow in your life because you're taking lots of risks with your faith, with your strength, with your hopes and your dreams, sir. Do you understand? And I'm not saying be mean to your friends. I'm not saying exclude them, but be very careful who you let in here. Because that's not where they are going to be. Because they don't have your dreams. And this one comment on somebody I haven't seen in years upset my house and my household and my daughter to the point where I just got to go to God. Because I know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Amen. But sometimes in the midst of that, you have an upset that you don't need to have. Sometimes you let people inspire you or get close to you, right? That just don't need to be there. They don't need to be there. And I don't want to be mean, but I'm just being honest. You may be surprised. You may be surprised at this. This might surprise you. But other people might not share your vision. Yeah. Other people might not share your dream. Other people might not share your goals. My vision for this church, and God sees it, not numbers. And I'm in this book I'm reading, I learned so much in 47 pages of this book because this pastor I'm reading gone through the same thing where he started, and it was step by step. Say that with me. Step by step. And he said, God ordered my steps. So if I stood here, listen, if I stood here and I was going to take steps to the other side, right? And you're taking steps in life and I walk straight, I'm going to get here quick, right? But if I start over here, and I start going to the left, what's going to happen? It's going to take me longer to get that way. And I go back to the middle and I start walking. I go to the right, what's going to happen? It's going to take me longer to get where God is wanting me. And He's ordered my steps. So anytime I take a left or a right, guess what I'm doing? I'm out of order. Praise God. I know you do, and you're right. I'm going to share. My bride said something to me before I came up. And it was a blessing. No, it was a blessing. It truly was. We don't watch ourselves. We don't hear ourselves. And she said one little thing out of here, right out of her heart. And I knew right away she was 100% right. So I'm working on it. And I'm stuttering now because I'm working on it. But you see, that little inspiration she gave me was for me to be stronger as a pastor, as a preacher. But anyway, it's... People, you know, I don't want to surprise you again. I know I'm surprising you with people that don't share your vision. I know that's a surprise. But people won't share a vision about your church. I'm sorry, that's true. I know it's a surprise. And people are not even going to share your vision about Jesus. They're going to tell you things about Jesus that have nothing to do with Jesus. They're going to tell you they don't believe. Oh, look at this. Look at the trouble in the world. Look at the trouble we're seeing. Look at this. It's always, how can God? And God is saying, I didn't do anything. I told you what to do. You're not listening. You're taking steps to the left and your right. You're fighting amongst yourself. A house divided cannot stand. I already told you that. He said, watch what you inspire people. Watch what you let into your house. I see people fighting on TV all the time. So just say you're sorry, or say God bless you, or say I forgive you. Let's start from there. But that they're not concerned about that, amen? And nobody is. So I'm telling you that God has said, I found a way. There's a way right in this book. There's nothing new. I'm sorry, I got to tell you too. Nothing new that we've seen and done that God hasn't seen and the world hasn't seen before. Nothing. Nothing. You might say there's a lot of evil. Well, there's been a lot of evil. I mean, just look up Genghis Khan. Look up the people. Look up Mao. Look what would happen. I mean, there's evil. Always been, always will. So we have to be very, very careful who we allow into our lives, because some of those people are not going to inspire you to do great things. They're going to tear you down. It might be jealousy. It might be whatever reason they have. But we had people in this church face that this week. And yours truly one of them. People come against you this week. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this is where you got to stand up and say, I'm not going to be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm standing on a rock. I'm standing with God. God has given me a vision to do it my way. That doesn't mean your way is the only, my way or the highway. But God has given you who you are, Sergio, to do it your way, to be who you are. And that's why you got to protect your vision. Protect it. And when we inspire each other, when you have a brother and sister in church, I pray that you have a word for them that's good. And I will close with this one more time. We are told God will never give us more than we can handle. Everybody said, I've heard that. Well, then if that's true, he will never give us a dream that is too big for us to reach for. So give him praise, church. That's your God. Hallelujah. Please be watchful over what you allow into your life and the people. We need to inspire each other. We need to be a reason why people come to this church. Each and every one of us need to be a light for God, but we need to be for each other. We need to bond so close together that they can only see one person when they look in here. See that we are one, that we are doing all we can to help everybody, but we're helping each other in the way that God calls us to do. It's such a beautiful dream. Have a dream with God. Let him fill that vision. You're never too old. You're never too young. There's just so much to be gained. Just following the Lord. Let's do the Lord's. Oh, yes. I meant to say, when you see people's dreams being achieved, when you see somebody doing something you want to do, something you're praying about it, look to God and say, yes, it's possible. When you see somebody obtaining something that you think that you want to have, you simply say, yes. Yes, I see it. It's possible. I see George and Pat here today. I see, you know, that's powerful. I see Marty and Margie. And Margie, I'm telling you, you're a prayer warrior. The church needs you. God needs you, and we need you, and you need us to pray and keep you strong. But those are prayers answered. This young lady, Flo, has got with us here. That's her great-granddaughter. She needs all the prayers. She needs all the guidance. She's with her great-grandmother. I knew one of my grandmothers for about a week. I mean, it just seemed in my life, she was in my life and gone when I was 8 years old. And there's a young lady sitting with her great-grandmother. I have 17 great-grandchildren. We don't have any yet, right? Emma? That's Emma.
She's 6 years old. First in school.
Amen. Great. She's sitting with her. These are. Give God thanks for all you have today.